Now, does it sound a little like a Dodge commercial from 2003? It does, dude, but do I love it? I do indeed. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Scott and Ian Show on the SBL Podcast. Let's go! Ow! Oh, man, already just blowing up this mic, turning it down. Hey, we got a fun new song. We've got a fun new episode. In this episode, I'm going to talk to Scott about, I don't know, should you play more than just the bass? Are we just bass players? Are we just specialists? Or are we multi-instrumentalists, right? Do you play some piano? Do you play a little guitar? Do you play the drums or the tubs? Nobody, no drummer likes to use the word tubs. Nobody. Do you tickle the ivories? No piano player likes that. Do you strum the old strings? That was the worst. I'm ashamed of myself for that one. But it's all good, dude. We move on. I am pretty much only a bass player. I have some other skills, but Scott has all these multi-instrumental skills, and he talks about that. But I do have another skill that I get to at the end of the episode. So a little dangling carrot for you there. Now, hey, my name is Ian Martin Allison. I am one half of the Scott and Ian Show. And look, I am employed at SBL. I'm a team member at SBL. Scott doesn't like it when I use the word employee, but it's all good, dude. It's all in love. I love working for SBL. Do you know what we do at SBL? If you don't, let me just tell you. It is the world's greatest online platform for learning how to play the bass. You can be a beginner and play. You can come in as an intermediate. You can come in as a pro and still have tons of insight. So no matter where you are on your journey, there is something that is right for you at SBL. There's so many things that I love. I'm going to try to talk about one different thing on each episode, see how far I get. What I want to do today is tell you about Student Focus. There's a program we do every 2 weeks. Mr. Craig Strain runs it, called Student Focus, where you can submit something. It can be anything, something from Player's Path, which is a program we have, a tune that you're working on in your band, and Craig will give you feedback. You submit it via a YouTube video, and you get direct one-to-one feedback. That show happens twice a month. You have two opportunities every single month to get direct feedback from an amazing player. Sometimes I do it. Scott has done it in the past, but now Mr. Craig Strain from Melbourne, Australia, originally from Scotland, actually, but lives in Australia now, is doing it. Killer player, killer educator. So check that out. Hey, and enough of me. You're going to have a little more me in a second, but let's get right to the episode. Here we go.
Dude, I've been thinking about getting a cold plunge.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Do it! Yeah. Dude, I've never done it.
Have you been in one?
No, but I would. I would absolutely do that.
I think I need to try one. Like, I was watching a video on the YouTube. I was watching a video on YouTube yesterday, and this guy was just like, they're great, blah, 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 blah. And then he was like, but before you get one, just do it. Like, try it out. Like, makeshift your own thing. Get in it, because he said that it is like a whole experience getting in one of these things. He said it's brutal. I was like, it can't be that brutal. And he was like, he had his on 41 Fahrenheit. I might get messed up between the Fahrenheit and the Celsius thing. So, and like the sea here in the UK is about 17, I think. And and this place we go on holiday, it's got a plunge pool that's, I think, about 14. So I was like, huh. And it's cold, man. Like, when I get in that, I go under and it's like 14. So I was like, I'm sure that'll be a similar type of thing. Well, I looked at 41 Fahrenheit, and that is 5.
Yeah,
it's
five. It's like close to freezing. Yes.
It's almost freezing, yeah.
Yes.
And I'm kind of sort of like feeling a bit shivery even talking right now. Can't even imagine what it's like to sort of like plunge your entire body into this ice cold water. But apparently it's supposed to be great for inflammation. Like, it's supposed to be really, really great for inflammation.
Yeah, your body's stuff like that. Like, lights up your body, blood flow, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll get one of them next time you come in November, right? We'll get in that, dude. Bad boy.
Dude, just outside in November. It's just like raining down. We're just in the cold plunge. Oh, God. Please just let me.
Yeah, dude. And that was another thing as well. Like, this guy, all of the people that have cold plunges all seem to be like living in Austin, right? It's all in Austin. Everybody's cool in Austin. They've all got cold plunges. They get in that thing and they get out and it's red hot and it's boiling. Then they get back in the plunge and back out and they dry off in like 3 seconds or something. Here in the UK, my only worry is like, you know, when I get in that thing, when I get out, I'm just going to get rained on and it's going to be like snowy and crap.
Like you'll never warm up. That's the fear, right? I mean, God, yeah. Dude, I remember being in the UK in the, you know, the late 90s when I went to school and it being like so cold. And everyone was just only heating certain rooms. Oh, man. I mean, it's smart. I get it. It's just not the way the U.S. does it. Like a little heater in every room. No, the houses all have, you know, HVAC or, you know, but like the little radiator you turn on. And I remember, you know, standing next to that thing and just like, oh, the one room that, you know, my great aunt and uncle were heating. Dude, it was brutal. So please tell me if you've got the cold plunge pool, that there's going to be a warm room we get to go into.
I don't know, man. I think it's just going to be in the garden somewhere. I'm going to figure it out. I've kind of kept it to myself. Like I spoke to my wife about it a few weeks ago and she was like, yeah, whatever. You're not going to get a cold plunge. But I really feel like I just, you know, I need to do it. Anyway, we'll see. I will let you guys know on the podcast if I pull the trigger and get
a cold plunge.
Let's do housekeeping. We wanted to add this thing called housekeeping into the podcast. The reason why we wanted to add it in is because we are super crap at telling you guys what's going on with SBL, what we're releasing. We kind of just sort of like, you know, we do the podcast and we sort of like have a great vibe. We sort of like chat and we have a great time. But we thought it'd be a nice thing to add in an addition to what we're doing is just a bit of housekeeping, keep it around 5 minutes. And in case you're, you know, if you're a member, you're going to hear about what's going on, what you might have missed and what's coming up. But also if you're not a member, you know, you might find out a little bit more about what we do at SBL. Because we, you know, we do this thing called scottsbasedlessons.com, if you don't already know. So first thing. And this is just a massive shout out to you, Ian, because you are a don for doing this. We have released the beginner's pathway, which is, I was going to say like a monster course. It's actually not a monster course. It is a humongous pathway. And the reason why we wanted to do this is that in the past, we've had, you know, beginner's courses inside of Scott's Base Lessons, inside the membership, but we just didn't feel like, well, beginners need a lot of support and it can be stressful being a beginner because you're getting hit left, right and center with, hey, do this, do that, or try this scale. And we were like, how do we create something that is just the best thing out there available for beginners? And that's where the idea for the beginner's pathway came. And, you know, and our team, shout out to Eric and Gav who edited this and obviously you know, everybody else that was involved, put together this amazing curriculum that we created. And then Ian jumped into that hot seat and recorded this monster. How many courses does it contain?
19 courses. It's broken up into three different, like beginners 1, 2, and 3. The first beginner pathway supposes that you have never seen, like it supposes that you have this instrument in your hands and you say to yourself, huh, like, I wonder where to blow into this thing to make it make sound. like if that's how you feel about the bass, then beginners one is for you, right? And it goes through all the things about how to hold it, what everything's called, how to plug into an amp, how to get a nice sound, right? Of course, right and left hands, plucking, muting, even a tiny bit of tablature and reading, but just rhythm reading. But we get to playing music right away. So it's not like, well, you know, you learn how to read music and learn these etudes. It's not that. It's like playing along to cool sounding drum grooves in the style of like classic rock and roll. There's stuff on there that sounds like Otis Redding. There's stuff that sounds like the Chili Peppers. There's stuff that sounds like, you know, Parliament Funkadelic. It's super based around, like when Eric and I were talking about it, we really wanted to make it based around songs and making music right away, because no one picks up this instrument to, you know, to like learn how to play scales. That comes later. And exactly, so yeah. We don't teach you scales right away. It starts out with knowing nothing and then moving through, and you're making music before we ever talk about triads or scales or anything like that. But then over the course of those three pathways, you do learn about chord tones. You do learn about scales. You do learn some reading, and then you're into Player's Path. It like loads you into Player's Path, which is another incredible program that SBL has based on these levels, based on the grading system in the UK, a trajectory through songs. Where you're learning songs, you can learn them by ear, you can learn them via standard notation, you can learn them by tablature, or a combination of all those three things. And this beginner pathways actually sets you up to start that program. And it's amazing. It's even if I do say so myself, I mean, I helped Eric write it, but Eric did such an excellent job in making sure that we didn't hit concepts and make assumptions. So instead of me saying, okay, yeah, and you know, when you play the scale, it's like if we hadn't talked about a scale, I wasn't talking about a scale yet. Or if I wasn't saying, oh yeah, and hang on to that for a whole note. Like I wasn't saying that until we covered all of that material. So it is very step by step. Now for people that are intermediate level, right? It might be a bit of a like you may want to start at beginner two or maybe not even take it at all. But for people that are new or feel like, man, they even just want to go back and have a look at their basics, which is me always. I love watching beginner content because I feel like I always learn something that I missed along the way. So I would encourage everybody, check it out. You might find that like, oh, you've never even thought about EQ in that way. Or, oh, I've never thought about holding my hands or my body posture in this way. Oh, I've never thought about wearing a strap this way. It's all covered. And I mean, I could go on and I'm going to, but I'm really passionate about it. I think it's an excellent program. I really do.
It's a monster, isn't it? And again, just like shout out to Eric as well, because he was just so great. Eric's the head of education at SBL and he was just great at helping us. Specifically on this course, Ian, understand, hey, we can't talk about this thing yet because they don't, we've not even, you know, you can't say a scale because they don't know what a scale is. You can't say a whole note because they've never heard of a whole note before.
Exactly.
You can't say, you know, so it really breaks down the entire thing into this really easy to digest, you know, step by step pathway. It's just a monster. And bless Gav, he messaged me after.
Oh, Gav is
one of our. He's the best, and he's like, you know, one of our editors, and he messaged me on Slack, and he was like, dude, this is the best thing we've ever created. So it was just like really fun. Yeah, he was so stoked about it. He was so over the moon because there was a lot of work went into it, and he was there on the shoot days for some of it. It was really great. So yeah.
Let me just say this. If I, as a humble fan of SBL, like pre knowing you. And I mean, I watched all that vlog content with you and Gav. Gav to me was just this enigma, man. I was like, oh, the mighty, incredible Gav. Like if I ever back then, if someone would have told me there's going to be a time where Gav is going to be editing your content and then he's going to say it's the best thing that we've ever done, something that I'd even touched, brushed up against, I'd freak out, dude. Gav's a legend to me. So that makes me really happy. Thank you.
Absolutely is. So if you haven't checked it out, obviously, you know, head on over to this site. If you remember, check that out. It's ready for you. And especially if you're just sort of like starting out and you're in this first sort of like stages of bass playing, it is going to be freaking amazing for you. And hey, if you're not, there's also other learning pathways, which will be really great. We've got like an R&B learning pathway. We've got a jazz learning pathway. We've got a funk learning pathway.
Yes.
And what these learning pathways are, well, it kind of says it on the tin, right? It's to give you sequential courses that really teach you that specific style or skill in a really kind of protected way. So it's not bombarding you with loads of information. It's actually, you know, giving you exactly, you know, what you need at the right time, at the right place in your development, and then introducing new topics along the way. And it always plays back into performance. We're not teaching you bullshit kind of crap that you're just going to be like, great, I'm never going to use that. We are teaching you things that you learn them, and then you go and use them in an actual piece that we teach you to play. So definitely check out those pathways if you haven't already. And then two last things in housekeeping is we've actually just released a brand new course called From Mardi Gras to the Meters, the Song Study Series with John Patitucci, which is an incredible it's incredible. So what John Patitucci is doing is it kind of says it on the tin, right? From Mardi Gras to the Meters. John Patitucci blows my mind to even say that. The legendary John Patitucci has put this course together for you guys, where he actually composed songs in the style of Mardi Gras through to the Meters. He teaches you those songs, and then you actually have to perform them. So it's learning through song, learning through performance, and it's just a really fantastic way to learn. And John Patitucci is just such a freaking crushing bass player. And there's a full live band on that course as well. So you get to play with those legendary musicians, which is Bantz Ponkers. And then finally, finally, we've got an SBL mentor session coming up early next week on Monday, October 24th, from Danny Moe, who's such a beautiful, beautiful person, and a crushing bass player. He really specializes in Motown and soul and stacks and that kind of stuff. And if you don't already know, every single Monday, we have a monster bass player do a live stream class for the membership. So if you are a member already, every single Monday, you can jump on and get taught from, well, obviously this upcoming Monday, it's Danny Moe Morris, and he'll be talking all about Motown and soul. But we also have like people like John Patitucci, like Gary Willis, like Jacob Umansky, you know, people that are just like the absolute top of their game coming in every single Monday streaming for you guys. So if you are a member, come along, hang out with us, and be a part of the party. Yeah. And if you're not a member, you can obviously just grab a 14-day free trial and take the entire platform for a test drive just to see if it's for you. Now,
yes, indeed.
That was our first housekeeping. How do you feel that went?
You know, I felt good about it. I want to add a little something at the end. I mean, I feel good like I should actually talk about this stuff forever, but I do want to say, am I wearing the coolest, drippiest, like pink hoodie of all time right now?
You are.
Dude, am I wearing just this lovely piece of apparel? You guys, do you know that we have a merch store? I knew that we had a merch store, but I didn't know the extent of the merch store. So I went in and was checking stuff out because I needed some stuff for the Bass Space event, and I saw this killing pink hoodie. Come on, this is my new favorite hoodie. And it's available for you. You can get this hoodie. Come on, get on over there to scottsbasslessons.com. It's all kinds of shirts, hoodies. I feel like there's hats, dude. There's mugs. There's all kinds of stuff, but this is hot, dude. And I am going to talk to Laura. I need to still talk to Laura. I think we're going to do some new colorways. We've got some really exciting stuff in the pipeline for the merch. I think we're going to try to do some, maybe a little periwinkle. I don't know, maybe a little aqua, maybe a little bone. We're going to update those colors even more. We're going to get in there and do it, man. So check out some merch. Get yourself some SBL merch.
I love that you love the merch. Like, it was so funny in that meeting the other day where, like, I was just sort of, like, Laura was like, does anybody want to be involved in apparel and stuff? And I was like, yeah, Ian wants to be involved. He's your man.
Let's go.
He's your man. Now, what the topic of this podcast is talking about playing more instruments than just bass, and whether you should be even thinking about it, whether it helps you anyway, or is it just a big fat distraction and actually takes you away from the thing that you are focusing on. I think that it's a really, really interesting topic. And here's a weird thing, just to point it out. I do not know if you play any other instruments than bass, Ian. Like, do you?
Bass is all I need, dude.
No, do you only play bass?
I mean, here's the thing. I Yeah, I sometimes feel self-conscious about this. I mean, of course I dabble. I mean, I can plunk out a couple of, you know, basic chords on a piano. I can pick up a guitar. I know a couple of chord shapes. I can play a little bit. I can sit down behind a kit and play a super simple beat. But I am not the multi-instrumentalist that sometimes I wish I were. I got so laser focused on the bass that it just became sort of my specialty. And I think that's cool. I mean, I have friends that, you know, are play a bunch of different things and they're like, the grass is always greener, right? They're always like, oh man, I wish I just had one thing. I'm sort of the jack of all trades. And I'm like, yeah, but God, I wish I could make a demo where I'm playing the guitar parts and I'm playing the keys parts. And I'm, but that's just not really what I do. I find that I do sort of those kind of things, but just all on the bass, you know?
Got it.
So yeah, I mean, I think that it, I see the benefit. It's so clear to me, seeing the benefit in other people that play more than one instrument, all the context you get, the perspective. But I am, I'm like a lone wolf of the bass guitar. I mean,
how much guitar can you, well, you said it, like you can play a few chords. Let me quiz you on it. Let me, cause I think that, you know, I want to get
okay, quiz me.
Right. Can you play like open chord? You can play all of the open chords, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say, dude, I mean, I don't know that I can play all of the open chords like right away, but I can, yeah, I can get through a chord progression thing in cowboy chords. Yes.
Got it. Would you know how to play an A7, A dominant 7?
I can see it in my mind. Yes, I can see that in an open position. And I mean, for sure, I could come up and play it in bass registers that I know. You know what I mean? Like I could play, But once, dude, I get from that G string to the B string thing and I am fucked, dude. It's like, I get to that thing and it's like, hold on, wait, this isn't 2/4 anymore. I am out. I mean, and I've even spent some time shedding some scales and, you know, just to get that relationship under my fingers, because I have a bass 6, right, which is just a guitar, but tuned an octave lower. And I play that.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually play that quite a bit.
And do you play like chords? Do you play bar chords on it? Do you not have to play bar chords?
No, I mean, you can play bar chords on it, but the whole thing is just an octave lower. So, you know, like anything down in the lower register just sounds kind of crazy. But yeah, I've worked through some chord shapes. Yeah, I could maybe play an A7, but
okay,
if you go any harder than that.
I'm hearing that you play a little bit of guitar. That's okay. What I'm hearing. I'm like, yeah, he plays a little bit of guitar. And you play a bit of keys, right?
I mean, again, here's my ear is strong, so I can find it. I'll find it, but I am not like anybody's like, hey man, would you sit in on keys? I'd be like, kill me, and you know, like open up the earth and put me in, because I'm not doing that. I would never like play a gig on keys.
Got it.
Yes, I can plunk out a couple. You know, I can find something.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm like on keys as well. I'm like,
No, that is not true. That is not true.
Well, that's what I feel like I am on keys.
But I see you actually playing. I mean, your level of keysmanship is far higher than mine. I'm talking like if someone is like, play me this chord, I could like pluck it out and find it. But I'm not, I don't have any songs. I don't have any, I got nothing on keys. You're playing songs. You can play songs. I've seen you do it.
I can play some really basic songs, like basic chords, and we can get into this as well, but I've been sort of like learning a little bit of keys over the last, you know, probably like 12 months or something like that, 18 months, with, because the kids have been doing it and I've just been sort of like following it along. Actually, completely, you know, they've been like following the books and stuff and they sound great. I have not been following the books and I'm just sort of like, you know, I'm just sort of like basically trying to translate what I know on bass to keys in a way, sort of like, oh, like, you know, how do I play a C major 7 chord? All that, you know, all that shit.
Yeah.
And then what about drums as well? You said that you can play like a simple beat.
Okay, here's the thing with drums for me. I love drums so much. I love it so much. And I just want to be able to sit down behind a kit and play like soft pocket. Like, I just want to play nice sounding drums that, like, I would want to be the drummer that showed up to sound check and have zero chip on my shoulder and not go, you know, like, I don't care about that shit at all. I want to be the guy that sits down behind a kit and goes, like, that to me is everything. And whenever I hear a drummer, like, you know, when you hear a drummer that just sits down and is so confident that they just play something simple. Dude, that to me communicates so much. Like, if someone just sits down and plays like a soft groove, I'm like, I also think drums sound better when they're played a little quieter. Like, I just grew up in these rock bands where everybody was hitting their zildjian Z cymbals as hard as they could. You know, like, and that's, it's all good. There's genre where you're supposed to smash drums. Rock and roll is one of them. I get it. But I want to be a kind of drummer that, like, plays soft. I want to play softly and, like, Joey Warnicker or Brian Blade, or I don't have the chops or the technique or anything. I don't deserve it. I haven't spent the time on the kit. But when I sit down on the kit, I endeavor to be simple and have pocket. That's the endeavor. Yeah. I don't know that I don't achieve that goal, but that's what I want. But I love drums. But I could play kick, snare, hat and be happy forever. Like, I would never have to have a Tom's. Even crashes. I love that, like, Nate Smith vibe in the Fearless Flyers, where he's playing kick, snare, hat on stuff.
That is so good, isn't it? Yeah,
it's so hip, and it makes you make different choices. And to me, it's like the less is more thing on the drum set, really. Like, as I'm sitting here with a bass six, and I just had a five string bass, and we've done all these podcasts on six strings, and, you know, bass collecting, and you know, and I'm like, well, less is more on the drums. I'm like, Jesus, maybe I need to take a take a hint, take a lesson for myself here. But yeah, that's my story on the drums. How about you on drums? You have a couple beats in there?
I've got a couple of beats, but I've never done a gig or anything like that. I actually have owned a drum kit because I was like really like you. I really wanted to. I just love drums. I really loved it. I love watching drummers, and I was like, I would love to play some drums. So
yeah,
I got a little kit and practiced at home. And that's as far as it ever went. But for me, it actually really helped, like, understanding, you know, how that instrument works.
Yes.
Not from a mechanical standpoint, but from a sort of, like, the rhythmical makeup of a drum groove. Like, how does it work? I mean, like, how does that end?
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, it really helped. And I actually spoke to Ed Friedland a long time ago. And we were having a conversation, and he said that he'd bought, and this was like, so Ed Friedland is a great author. He's written a lot of books, but he's also bass player for, what's the band, Ian?
You said this a while back, but I don't remember.
We send you readers who can sway.
Dude, what's I wish I knew that song. I have no clue, dude. I have no clue. I want to say like Paul Anka, but that's not right. I want to say, Ed, I'm so sorry if you're listening to this. Like, Ed Friedland, if he ever listens to this, is just yelling at the at his phone right now.
Is it the Mavericks? Is that what they're called? The Mavericks.
Hey, the Mavericks.
Let me just check. The Mavericks. Yes, the Mavericks. He plays for the Mavericks.
Well done.
Got there in the end, yeah.
Well done.
Okay, so he plays for the Mavericks. And anyway, so having this conversation with him, and he was sort of like super pro, you know, he taught us sort of like, you know, in LA and stuff like that at this point, written loads of books and stuff. He said, I just bought this drum kit and I've been learning how to play drums. And he said, it's completely changed, like, how I feel rhythm. And I've just got such a deeper understanding of placement and rhythm and stuff like that. And he was doing exactly what we're talking about right now. He wasn't doing any gigs. He was just learning some beats. Yes. And I think that, just to sort of like, you know, I know that we're not talking about whether people should be doing this or not yet in the conversation, but look, you should be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, even I would recommend it to even like if you're just doing it like drumming on your legs and using, you know, and you're just using your foot on the floor as the kick drum, just to be able to play, you know, if anybody's wondering what that sounds like,
Exactly.
You know, to be able to do that.
16th note swing, dude. Sounding good.
Yeah, dude. it's really important to be able to do that. And you don't actually need any instruments. You can just play it on your body. And, you know, you should be using your foot and stuff like that. But I think when you're playing as a bass player with a drummer, you really should understand what they're doing and how you fit in with that. And it really will help you if you, you know, if you play a little bit of it. If, as well, even if it's just on your body. You don't, I'm not saying go buy drums or anything like that. Hey, if you want to go, more power to you, but you know, just learn a few simple beats on your legs and that'll be great for you. And then in terms of myself, actually just let me tell you about drums as well. And so many great musicians play drums.
Yeah.
And so many of them are ferocious at it as well. They're like bonkers, right? So Hadrian Farreau, great drummer.
I didn't Yannick know that.
Yes.
Yannick plays drums too?
Yeah, Yannick plays drums. Mike Brecker, the late great, like probably the most legendary sax player who ever existed, other than Coltrane, like played drums. Joe Lovano plays drums. There's crazy. There's so many people there. And all of those people I mentioned just then are actually actually really good drummers. Drums is definitely, just from the like rhythmical side of things, it's just really great to get that stuff under your belt. But for me personally, I do play guitar as well. And the reason why I did that is I started out on guitar when I was like 13.
Yeah.
That's why. So I played, started out on this freaking dog of a guitar that my dad bought for 20 quid from somebody at the factory. And I used that for like 6 months.
And then, did you use that on your first jazz gig?
Oh, dude, I did not use that on my first jazz gig. It was a dog. It was like the dog of all dogs. But and I started playing classical guitar. So I was playing classical. My dad was like, hey, if you want to learn guitar, I want you to learn classical guitar. So I learned classical guitar as a kid.
Yes.
Learned how to read and do all of that stuff. Did all my grades. You know, we do grades here in the UK. Was doing all my grades. And then alongside that, I was also getting lessons from this really fantastic guy that worked with my dad in the factory that my dad worked in, this guy called Joe Bashushko. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Joe. What a super cool guy. And he was just sort of like, he had this bright yellow Ibanez RG kind of like, you know, like
freaking, so sick, dude. Yeah. Dude,
with the Digitech. I used to go on his house and he'd have like the bright yellow RG, whatever it was, like 450, I think,
yeah.
Ibanez. He had like a Digitech sort of like 1U rack mount thing.
Yeah.
He had a Marshall 4x10. Ah, yes. It was amazing. So
the coolest gear, yeah.
Yeah, and we used to like listen to Whitesnake, and he used to like teach me Steve Vai riffs, and
yes,
and John Sykes riffs for anybody that's sort of like, you know, Whitesnake fans out there. John Sykes played guitar before Steve Vai, all of that thing, and you know, and I played guitar in rock bands and stuff like that all the way up to when I was, man, like did the whole thing. We were trying to get signed. I was just like a guitar player. It was not in my kind of, you know, field of vision at all that I was going to be a bass player. I was like a guitar player. I was like super into Shred. And then that went into, I was like really into the Smashing Pumpkins, and I wanted to be in a signed band and do that whole thing. Yeah. And then left school around 16 and a half, 17, and got a job making basses and as an apprentice luthier. And that's how I discovered bass, from making them. And then, you know, listening to that Scooty Sverrisson solo, like Alan Holdsworth, Low Levels, High Stakes. I heard that solo on the album.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is it. I'm going to be a bass player. And that's when I started playing bass. So yeah, all that to say, I definitely play guitar, but I actually rarely play it now. Rarely. Mm-hmm. Like we have got a guitar at home. But I rarely pick it up. I've got a Strat, like my 80s Strat that I had when I was a kid. I've got
so
that
cool.
At the studio, SBL Towers, rarely pick it up. and I should, but I just, you know, I just never get around to it. I'm just like too busy shedding the bass. And then keys is my the only thing, other thing that I play, but I'm like really crap on it. I've only been playing for like about 12 months. I'm just learning some basic chords. So yeah, drums for me, it's like barely any drums.
Yeah.
I can play like a backbeat, you know, like yourself, you know, just kicks and hats and stuff. I can play some jazz, but you know, like swing stuff and that, but it's like really rudimentary. Keys, again, really rudimentary, but I'd love to talk about that a little bit more, actually.
Yeah.
And then guitar, because I just started on guitar. But yeah. If somebody came to me and said, hey, should I play more than just bass? Should I at least kind of like, you know, go on little adventures with these different instruments? I would say actually yes, like without a shadow of a doubt. I wouldn't say no, just do bass. How deep you go is totally up to you. I think that, you know, doing what you've done, Ian, where you just sort of like play, you know, you understand like how drum beats are made. You can sit behind a kit and play a little groove. Like, I think that's great. You know, I don't think that we all need to be like, you know, trying to be like Nate Smith or, you know,
of course.
Whoever, right? We just need to understand how that stuff works. Same thing on guitar. Like, guitar for me, like, I think it's, if somebody came to me and they were like, okay, I could do guitar or keys, but it has to be one or the other. I can't, you know, obviously this is just a bonkers statement, but let's say it's true. I can only do guitar or keys. What should I do? I would actually say keys.
Yep.
All day long. Like without a shadow of a doubt, I wouldn't even have to think about it. I would be like, keys.
Why is your conviction so strong there?
Dude, because when you can play keys just to a level where you can actually just play chords and understand chords, and it's like you're almost in a way just missing out on this huge piece of the pie. And I didn't really understand it until like 12 months ago. Like, really, I didn't understand what I'd been missing out on, you know. So for instance, I'm trying to think of a chord. What does like a B flat major triad sound like with a C major triad played over it? Those two chords sound like? B flat major triad, C major triad. I've seen the chord written. I know what to do as a bass player. You can't really do that as a guitar player. It's like this sort of like outlier instrument where you can actually just sort of like sit there and play the harmony and listen to what it actually sounds like.
Yes. Linearly laid out too, right?
Like exactly.
It's linear. Like there's no repetition of notes. There's only one, that B flat in that one octave only exists in one place, but it exists in four freaking places on the bass guitar. You know what I mean? Like one octave of B flat.
Dude,
brutal.
You've got four fingers as a guitar player. If you like think about learning guitar, I want to learn more about harmony and learn more about chords. Of course you do, right? Of course, right? You've got four fingers on guitar. You've got 10 on piano.
On the keyboard. Yeah,
is a completely different world. Because you can sit down and listen to all of these sus chords and be like, oh, that's what it sounds like.
Yes.
You can just like listen to them. That was so liberating to me. You know, like playing, I can remember when I just sort of like held down like a C bass note and played a B flat triad over it. I was like, oh, that's that sound I hear all the time.
Wow.
All the time. Right. And it just really gives it to you. It's like a musical abacus. It's really, really great.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I love that idea of piano as a way to explore harmony, because we're so limited on the bass guitar, right? If you're playing a four-string bass, I mean, yes, of course you can expand to a five or a six and put the high C on, but still, I love this idea that, or even if you're playing guitar, you only have four fingers. I mean, unless, you know, you're building extensions and tapping or something, but like, it's so much more of an acrobatic act to make chords work on a fretted instrument, like a fretted stringed instrument, than it is to make a chord work on a piano, man. Like, it's just, like, it just lays out, like, you could easily play that triad and then change all the bass notes. See what that B flat triad sounds like over a D flat.
Over a G.
Exactly.
It's so easy, right?
Yes.
Play the B flat triad, put a C underneath it.
Yeah.
Play the B flat triad, do G underneath it. B flat triad with an F. And it's so easy to do that stuff that we've just said there on guitar. Would be a big old freaking pain in the butt.
It's a beast, yes.
It's a beast, yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, guitar isn't cool and you can't do that stuff on guitar, but it's just nowhere near as accessible as a piano. Like, piano, all of that stuff that we just talked about, you'd be able to do that after sort of like 2 weeks,
yeah,
maybe even a first week. To do that on the guitar, it's a pain in the butt. There's a big learning curve there.
Right.
And that's why I think that, and also that's why, you know, most music colleges, when you go there, some of them, it is like not a choice. You have to have key skills. Okay.
Yeah.
You go into your key skills thing. Like, you know, and you have to learn your chords and learn some inversions and stuff like that, because it's just, you're missing so much.
Dude, that is a regret that I have. When I went to school, dude, when I went to college and I had an opportunity to do a music minor, the thing that kept me out was proficiencies. They did these things called proficiencies. So you have to have like a keyboard proficiency. You know, you're playing through all your scales, right? So you have to play the major scale in all 12 keys. And I just remember thinking, I'm not going to do that. I don't need it. I'm already making music in my rock band. Who cares? But man, that is a regret. I wish that I would have been forced in a way to, like, I wish that I would have been like force fed the keys at some point in my life, because I think it would be really helpful.
Oh,
I mean,
dude,
and something else too, like not even, so yeah, we're talking about harmony, but if you're like, I don't really care about that, something else that keys give you is production tools. So if you hook up a MIDI controller that's a keyboard into your computer, now you can use it to trigger drums or make automation or something else that I wonder, I'm going to include it into this other, this talk we're doing today around other instruments, right? I wonder how you feel about this, Scott. I think that another thing to talk about is production in general. So recording, engineering, audio work. Like, to me, that feels like another instrument. Because
it's my weakness. It's actually my weakness.
Right?
It's my weakness, yeah. This is the bit where I'm totally screwed. Where I've gone, you know, super deep on guitar, obviously, because I played it for years. Really deep on bass.
Yes.
You know, I've been practicing piano for the last year. And just to put it, if anybody's thinking, well, what does that even mean? I've just been sitting down and playing piano for like 10, 15 minutes a day for the last 12 months, 18 months. And it's been really great fun. And if you haven't got 10 or 15 minutes a day to do something like that, you need to look at your life. just to put it out there, everybody's got 10 or 15 minutes a day. You know, delete Instagram,
dude. Scott's just shaming you, dude. Just like,
yeah, just delete Instagram, whatever, you know, just like use that 10 or 15 minutes to, you know, play a bit of piano. And then on drums, you know, like I haven't practiced that in the past, but I know I did practice it in the past, but again, it was like 10, 15 minutes a day. But I wish that I'd done the studio thing. I completely effed up, dude. I really missed out. I really missed out. And you are absolutely right. It is really invaluable. It can be really invaluable.
Yep.
It's
huge for me. I mean, and I think it goes to show, like, whatever you think might be helpful to you, do that thing. If it's keys, like, that would actually be really helpful to me. Now, playing the saxophone, it's probably not going to be that helpful to me. Even though, like, I love the saxophone. That would be amazing to play the sax. I've got a buddy, man. Oh, Joshua Jellyfish Holmgren. Shout out Jellyfish, the musical director for Dessa. He is such a killer player, man. He's great keys. He's a killing sax player. And I hear him play the sax, and I'm like, ah, man. But I don't need to play the sax, right? I think, take that thing, like, wonder if you're going to step away or out into the woods in something else other than bass. I'm assuming you're a bass player listening to this podcast. Maybe you're not. Scott, you think we've got guitar players and drummers and,
I don't know, bakers
and chefs listening to the podcast?
Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe.
We have talked about Hattie and Trilby's. Is that right before?
Amazing bakers bakery. Down in Leamington Spa.
But I'm saying, like, whatever you think. Like, if there's an interest that you have, whether it be videography, whether it be camera gear, whether it's lighting, whether it's, you know, recording yourself, whether it's engineering, microphones, right? All of that stuff will resonate in your music trajectory. If it's keys, if it's playing drums, right? But as you're thinking about that stuff, I wonder if you feel this way, Scott. Like, think about, if you could pick one, pick that one and then just double down. Like Scott's saying, it's keys. Like Scott's like, hey, keys, it will give you all this insight into harmony. And like for you, Scott, that's the thing. You love harmony. You're like, you are so all about it. You want to play over those chords. You want to hear how those chords lay out. For me, the biggest upgrade that I did to my career and skill set, bar none, was learn how to engineer, how to record myself, how to record my bass, because I do it now all the time. Learn how to light a room. Holy crap. And that was the pandemic and Scott Devine saying, hey, man, can you get into a studio to shoot some stuff for us? I said, no. He said, well, can we just send you a light? Like, oh, dear God, here we go. Here we go, you know, and I was force fed that. I mean, not, you know, not by you, but it was like there was a certain set of circumstances that made me having to dive into that field make sense and be really good. And I think for me, it always happens that way. I'd love to spend a bunch of time on the drums. I'm not deleting Instagram. I mean, you know, like I probably should. I spend a lot of time on Instagram, dude. No, don't delete Instagram. I'm gonna counter that. Don't delete Instagram. Just make something. Don't scroll. Stop scrolling. Make something for Instagram. That would be my advice. Yeah, make it. But like I feel like that audio engineering or setting up a shot, lighting a room, those skills are so critical and they've served me so well. That meant that there was a door open for me to create content for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that
would not have
happened if I would have poured that time into the saxophone.
if somebody's listening to this and they want to, like, let's say sort of like engineering chops, mm-hmm. where would you point them? Because it's kind of like, you know, if somebody's asking, hey, okay, what should I do? I want to learn keys. Let's just cover this off. If I want to learn keys, I would probably buy sort of like a, you know, like level one piano skills thing, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then just start learning some songs, basically. Try and find something that's teaching you chords and not so much classical stuff. That's what I'd do.
Yes.
On drums, I'd probably, you know, watch some YouTube videos and play some beats.
Yes.
You know, that like how to play a beginner beat on drums. It's like, and you don't even need a drum set. Just let's say your right leg is your hi-hat. Your right knee is your hi-hat. Your left knee is your snare drum.
That's right.
And the floor is your kick drum. Learn some beats, right? What about engineering?
Okay.
Where do we point them?
I mean, for me, it was being in a band and spending too much money on an album at a studio that sounded like crap. Our final product sounded like crap. And we're like, could we just do this ourselves? And that was the long road. Now, short of that, if you're past that, if you're not going to get in a band with your teenage buddies and go down that long road, I think I got some great advice from a dear friend of mine named Joey Verscotti, who's a killer producer in LA. I play a lot of bass tracks for him. And he said, if you want to get into it, make sound-alikes. So like instead of, you know, opening up whatever thing you're working on, whether it be GarageBand or Logic or Ableton or whatever, and all that stuff, none of that stuff matters, by the way. Just like start on something. So if you're like, oh, what platform should I get into? It doesn't really matter. They all are cool in their own way. If you lean electronic production, it's either going to be Logic or Ableton. If you lean like real band, you want to track drums, do Pro Tools. But you know, like, don't worry about that so much. Start with GarageBand. You probably have it on your phone or on your laptop. But the thing to do is to take a track as an exercise that you think is cool and try to make something like it. Try to make something that sounds like it. Because what happens is with the things that you have. So the danger with going out and looking at, you know, like watching a bunch of YouTube videos about production is that you'll want to buy plugins. You'll want to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on plugins. I mean, I love gear. We all love gear to an extent. I mean, you know, Scott and I have been talking about, you know, the bass collections and I love pedals and all that stuff. But really, yeah. I mean, so we're so guilty of this, but I would say like, if you want to actually start out producing something, try to make a track that sounds like it. So find a drum loop that's probably already in your hard drive because it came with Ableton or it came with GarageBand or whatever. Pull that in. See, you know, now mess with an EQ. See if you can kind of get it to sound like that thing that you're trying to do. And then let your ears guide you along the way. That is always the best way to think about sounds versus like, oh, the producer Eric Valentine or, oh, Ian Kirkpatrick, who did Dua Lipa, always uses Soothe or some expensive thing. That's not the way to start because it doesn't develop your ears. You have to develop your ears. You have to make the sounds with the things that you have. A great example of that is Phineas, who is Billie Eilish's brother and producer.
Oh, yeah.
He just, like, people are like, what's Billie Eilish's vocal chain? And he's like, it's Billie singing into a cheap microphone, like an Audio Technica condenser microphone that, you know, cheap, into the stock Logic compressor. That's it. You know, it's like,
seriously,
yes, is that what he did? Dude, yeah. Used, and you know, all the hi-hats that they used, he'd sampled, he had his iPhone. So they were out in some, I think they were in Australia, and like the thing, the traffic signal was making a sound.
Yeah.
And he just held his phone up and grabbed it in a sample. And that's the hi-hat on Bad Guy, is that sound.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. So, you know, it's easier.
That's so cool.
Yeah. In some ways, it's easier to spend money, right? Like, and we're all guilty of it. Oh, I want to sound like that, so I'm going to spend the money and buy the thing to sound like that. But it's always cooler. I need to remember this for myself, too. It's always cooler to use the tools that you have, use the thing that you have, and see if you can make a cool sound with that thing that you have. Because people are going to respond to that way more than you buying the plugin that all the hot LA producers are using.
Oh, dude, do you know what we should do in the future, just before we call it on this episode? We should do an episode about how to record yourself and like what specific gear
100%. That
people should be looking at. Have we done one?
I think a while back we did talk about some of that stuff, but I mean, I have updated thoughts. I'm sure you do too. But I would love to talk about
it. Is it the Avalon U5? Like, is
sure.
it? Is it? I mean, like, it there's was. So many people. Yeah. Like, is it the Avalon or do people just use sort of like the HX Stomp? Because you can use HX Stomp for the actual interface right now. You can plug that straight into your computer. Don't talk about it now. Don't talk about it. We'll do it we'll do it in a future episode. So, should we call it?
Yeah. So let's fun. Do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, thanks for watching and listening.
Yeah.
As always, if you haven't caught the podcast over on YouTube yet, just go to scottsbasslessons.com. Actually, just go to Scott's Bass Lessons podcast on YouTube searches. You'll find us there. We should sort a URL so people can find us over there. We'll do that. And we'll see you next time around. Take it easy.
Take care, everybody.